Would you join me in prayer? God, thanks for your holy word. Thanks for the privilege of speaking from it. May your Holy Spirit speak through me in power and to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been thinking about this passage for a while, and I really like this passage. In the part that was read, it says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart. Then it goes on later to say, to be a cheerful giver. I read of a Mary Ann O'Rourke, little girl had grown up repeating Bible verses, and when asked to say one of those, she said, God loveth a cheerful liver. At least that's what she thought she'd heard. So she asked her grandmother, what's a liver? And she said, it's like your stomach or in your heart. It's something that comes deep inside of you. And so the preacher, upon hearing it, said, maybe it should say cheerful liver. It's something that comes out of us. When it says what you have decided in your heart, what it's really talking about is it comes out deep from within. The heart, in the concept of the Greek, isn't so solely a source of emotions. It's a source of that which comes out of you. It's the heart and the mind and the will and the sense of who you are. You could say, when it says decided in your heart, what it's doing, it's revealing your purpose. When we do things from deep within us, we get a sense of our purpose. Matthew's gospel describes it where Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So out of this deepest center that you've decided in your heart to give, it says not reluctantly. I love the Greek word not reluctantly. It's like it let it flow. It's a natural flow like a river with no dams, no reservoirs. And it just comes out of us, and it pours out of us. It's like a river of blessing. I love that thought and how it comes out. When I was younger, though not a very good swimmer, I did have a very good life raft, a life jacket. And one of the things I used to love to do was to whitewater rafting. Have any of you ever done whitewater rafting? How does it feel to just be carried on by the force of the river? How many of you like that? How many of you are terrified of it? And I should have been, but I had, like I said, I had a good life jacket. But it was just something exhilarating of being carried by something behind yourself. It's kind of funny, when my wife and I were brand new in this church, we formed a youth group, and we had 30 or 40 kids in this youth group. And we planned a trip, a 100-mile canoe trip. And I didn't know all that much about it. My wife was actually much more knowledgeable than me. So we took this river, but there were virtually no rapids. So for close to 100 miles, do you know what we were doing? That wasn't as much fun. But by the way, the trip ended early. The last day that we were going to go down the river, there were these little lightning bolts coming down on the river. And in our aluminum canoes, we went ashore. But when we talk about flowing like a river, It's like the rushing river of God, like the river of righteousness. Martin Luther King used to use the terms of rivers and the rivers of blessings. And it's not out of compulsion, not forced to, not a guilt trip, but just an opportunity. For God loves the cheerful giver. Now, I looked up the word cheerful. The Greek word sounds essentially like hilaros. Hilaros. And I couldn't figure out, but I think it's the source of the word, it was hilarious. Have you ever heard something that was just sort of hilarious? So when it says a cheerful giver, I mean, it means like, really have fun doing it. I've always said in my ministry that when I lost the fun of doing something in the Lord, that I needed to find something else to do. But in God's infinite grace, it's been a bunch of years before ordination and after of just noticing the joy of being used of God, of jumping in the river with the life jacket. You better swim, there's less so. And so it's speaking here of the cheerful giver, of being, just enjoying it. There was an English poet named Carlyle, and he described once while his folks were away, a poor person came to his door and said they were really hungry. And Carlyle immediately ran to his piggy bank. It was one of the old kind that you couldn't open, so he broke it open. And it gave all the money to the poor person. He went away. And when his folks got home, they told him he really ought not to have done that. But Carlyle, as he describes it in some of his writings, says, it was the most wonderful sense of sheer happiness he'd ever had. Just giving himself away. And it speaks of why the grace of God giving ourselves away. From time to time, people have said to me, well, I wouldn't be a pastor for $1 million when I was taking care of a task that was a tiny bit difficult. And I would always say to them, neither would I. But for the joy of serving the Lord, it's worth far more. And it's a sense of us giving away. The Jews in their offerings, when you come to the temple, they had two places you could give. One was that which was required of you. And it was virtually like a church tax. And it was expected. And so you'd put the money in the church tax box and a chest. And then they had another offering that was essentially like a joy offering. It was just because you felt good about God. You felt you wanted to give more of yourself. And I guess the practical ones made sure there was a required offering, and the less practical ones just wanted to have an opportunity for people to give themselves away. God is able to bless you abundantly. That means to let it flow without resistance. The best part about giving in my whole life is that when I've gotten into it, instead of thinking what I gave and that I didn't have it any longer, it filled me with an attitude of thanksgiving, or if you will, an attitude of gratitude. And it's such a joy. My giving opens me to the grace of God. And it speaks in the passage about sowing seeds. And you can't have a harvest unless you sow seeds. I remember reading of a fellow who I thought was really smart. I actually haven't done it, but probably when I retire, I'll do this. The fellow really liked vegetables, but he really didn't like farming. So he bought a great deal of seeds and gave them to his neighbors. guess what? He had a lot of vegetables. And it's kind of like giving in the body of Christ. As we give ourselves to God, it's like we get a return of a sense of belonging to one another. One person does this and another does that. And God blesses that. The beauty of giving is it's like this teacher was talking to this little girl. And he said, well, what are you going to get your father for his birthday? And he said, I'm going to get my daddy a pair of slippers, really nice slippers. And the fellow said, well, where are you going to get the money? And she said, well, my daddy will give me the money. Now, I've been there and done that on both ends of the equation. It was no less joy to give a gift to my father and mother that they paid for. It was no less joy to receive a gift that I paid for from, because it was the attitude of thanksgiving and of joy and of gratitude and of overflowing. And it was heavy, man. It was super. And we get that opportunity in the body of Christ. It says you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Calvin, always like to quote Calvin. It makes people think I'm studious. He speaks of the harvest, and he says, this harvest should be understood both in terms of the spiritual reward of eternal life and also referring to the earthly blessings with which God honors the beneficent. Not only in heaven does God reward the well-doing of the godly, but in this world as well. You know, at different times, this isn't a pledge message or a faith promise message, but it is an opportunity to give, and I'll come to that in a moment. But I have been reluctant to preach that we should give because we'll be blessed, just because it seems self-serving. But the flat-out truth of it is, as we give, we are blessed. I've been tithing for 55 years. Never missed it. Always enjoyed it. In fact, even before those 55 years, I used to go to Sunday school. Excuse me. What are you supposed to say? Thank you. Got to get blessings any way I can. I used to go to Sunday school, and they had little mission banks, and then they had envelopes where we could contribute. My folks would give me a quarter or a dime, a nickel, whatever it was. And I really enjoyed doing that because it made me a part. No, I really did as a kid. If my folks knew God, I always reminded them. And that's the nature of giving with God, that we are blessed by it. I saw a great, great cartoon or picture I'll share with you. But even before I do that, it says you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the people, but is also overflowing in expressions of thanksgiving to God. Overflow, we all know what it means. It means to run over the top. It's like we receive more than we can give or receive. I remember particularly early on when I would send emails and I would attach a document. And if you attached too big a document, you could almost keep your computer on all day waiting for it to load. And there were limits to that. And so I would learn to unload that which I had so that I could get more in. And that's kind of how it is with the loaves and fishes. If we don't share it, God can't replenish it on the same level. He can't overflow in us as much. Here's the illustration that I'd love to. Have you ever seen a picture of a statue of Jesus where, like this? Isn't that the one in Argentina or Brazil in Rio de Janeiro? Always loved that. Somebody put an attachment, and it was on the loaves and fishes, and they put these words under it. And the question was, how big were the fishes? And the attachment was, what's the words? This big. How much has God given us? Just infinitely more than we could extend or show. A few weeks ago, a while back, a couple came to me, not a wealthy couple, by the way, and they said, well, we were in deficit, and they didn't think that God's people should be in deficit. We had the hard winter and all that stuff. We could go through it all. And they said, to help out, we'd like to contribute $35,000. And this isn't a rich couple, by the way. And I listened, and I said, thank you, Jesus. And they said, but we not only want to do that, we want to give people the same opportunity that we have. You see, we prayed about it, and this is our way to thank God for his blessings to us and for this church. And how can we give the same opportunity to the people? So they talked about it. I said, what if we made the $35,000 a matching gift? I said, okay. And you should have gotten an envelope in the mail. We'll have one next week as well. But I just want you to challenge you to ask God, can you give beyond what you planned? If God says no, I totally am with God. I'm afraid to be against God, to be honest. But I'm totally with God. But if God calls you to do it, maybe exercise your faith in your giving, then do so and realize it's kind of fun. So, any of you that feel called, I want to challenge you to take, and next week, on this Sunday, you can mail it in or you can put it in the offering plate up there or when it comes around, a faith opportunity offering. Whatever you give beyond what you've pledged or faith promised, will be matched up to $35,000. If it's matched, the deficit is erased. Now, by the way, I know some of you have already given. And when I called over the summer for us to do catch-up, Ann and I committed. That was a neat opportunity to give more to God. And we'll commit this week or next week, whatever you want to call it. And should you feel glad, do it. If you can't get into the spirit of realizing how neat it is to acknowledge the God who gave you everything, the Father who gave you everything, to give back a little more and get into the joy of it, maybe even laugh a little, then don't sweat it. This is an opportunity to just stretch your faith and just sort of jump in the river. My mom occasionally would get mad at me and say, why don't you go jump in the river? It is hilarious. It is joyful to just do a step beyond. So I told a couple that, and we sent the thing out next week. Any of you that wish, write a check or cash or whatever. Any of you that give beyond what you've pledged so that it's a leap of faith, please do so. No, I won't be upset and mad if you don't, but I will feel like you missed an opportunity. By the way, if you do it, think of it was this big and laugh in the giving. Nice try. With someone wrote this, it said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God uses what you have to fill a need which you could never have filled. God uses where you are to take you where you could never have gone. God uses what you can do to accomplish what you could never have done. God uses who you are to let you become who you could never have been without Him. Amen. Let us behold Him.